me back to when I get saved, and I thought about it. I was 23. I'm not going to give you the whole testimony. Most of you heard it before, but this much I will say. I came to a place where I understood that I was a sinner before a holy God, and that all the religion I had had in my upbringing wasn't going to do me any good. I was not saved. Religion doesn't save. Churches don't save. We try to share that in gospel presentation, certainly at a memorial service. And I remember that I called upon Jesus and I asked him to forgive me and save my soul. It's a day you never forget. It's a day that you knew you were forgiven of God. You became a child of God. And I'm his child forever. And I know I'm going to heaven. And I don't say that to brag, but to brag on the Savior who saved me and forgave me. People have a hard time understanding or accepting this idea that you can know you're going to heaven. Well, let's believe the Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. Friend, if you're here today, you're not saved. I want you to know before you leave, you can know you're going to heaven. Not based upon how good you are. And you may be very good. The best among us. But the best among us is still a sinner in need of the Savior. I was thrilled the day I got saved. I was thrilled on Wednesday when those people trusted Christ as their Savior. It's thrilling any time somebody comes to Christ. Because even this past week, several have been called to glory. Several have come to that appointment. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this judgment. It's appointed. There's a time. You have an appointment. I have an appointment. And you're not going to be late for that appointment. You'll be right on time. And it's not then, well, gee, let me think things over now on my way to meet God face to face. No, you're there. And either you are saved by the blood of Christ or you're not. Either heaven is your eternal home or hell. It's one or the other. There is no purgatory, by the way. You that grew up being taught that there was a purgatory, a little time in between, a little purging going on, a little touch of hell, you know, pay for those sins. Poppycock. That was an invention of Catholicism. It's heaven or hell. And it's that quick. And we're going to die. What a wonderful thing to know that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. These that have passed that knew Christ, they're with Jesus in glory and all that heaven offers. Nothing in this life compares to what heaven offers. It's a wonderful truth. So I thought about that, and I want to share this morning some thoughts that I believe you can chime in on in your own heart. Why I'm glad I'm saved. No big, deep, new theology. Just reviewing some wonderful, wonderful truths. Things that encourage us. And the first one I would share is, because my sins are forgiven. Anybody here ever commit a sin? Some hands didn't go up. I'm concerned. Have you committed more than one? Probably this morning. When I think about it, you know, I usually throw this number around. My kajillion sins of my lifetime. And every one of them has been paid for in full by the Savior. He didn't pay like 90% and said the rest is on you. Hey, if one was on me, I'd go to hell. No one's bringing their sins into heaven. I don't care if you think you only sinned one time. But when you're saved, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you are forgiven. Let's run a few verses, if you would. Romans chapter 4. And the message today will all be about Bible verses, because there's the source of truth. There's the source of truth in Romans chapter 4. And notice with me, verse 7. The Bible says, saying, blessed are they. Well, who are they? Well, those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed are they. Happy are they. Is that you this morning? If you've been forgiven of your sins, you ought to be, you consider yourself blessed and happy before God. You ought to spread the news around. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 13, the Bible says, and you being dead in your sins, dead in your sins, on your way to hell, death, eternal death, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. Jesus himself has given you life. He's quickened you with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All of them. Amen. My kajillion. And you're two or three. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. My encouragement this morning would be for you to write down these references and review them this week. Fresh and anew, grasp the truth of how blessed you are if you know Christ as your Savior. 1 John 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. The Bible is replete with verses that speak of the forgiveness of God, because he forgave my sins, forgave all our sins. Billy Zioli said this, our God has a big eraser. Hallelujah. Big enough to cover mine. Big enough to cover yours. Go to Psalm 32. Here a Psalm of David, along with Psalm 51. Two notable Psalms of confession, forgiveness he received. And Psalm 32, verse 1, David says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He imputeth not iniquity. He will not lay to charge my kajillion sins on me. When I stand before him, he will see a robe of righteousness, which I wear because of Christ. He will not see the sinner that I was. The Lord imputeth not iniquity. He's not going to hold me to charge. You know why? Because all of those sins were laid on the charge on his son on the cross of Calvary. He bore on that tree all of my sins and all of yours too, and paid the debt that you and I, he took upon himself the hell that you and I deserve. What a Savior. And we're forgiven. Slate clean. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. What a wonderful truth to acknowledge, because my sins are forgiven. That's why I'm glad I'm saved. Every last one of them. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I mean, they stand out. You ever see somebody may have a white shirt, but if there's one black dot on it, you ever notice that? How that everybody's eyes go to the dot, as if it was the biggest thing. I mean, the whole shirt's white, but that one little dot, you know. And our sins are far more than a little dot. Scarlet, he's comparing it to. Be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a picture that presents. I was filthy, but now I'm clean. I've been forgiven of every last sin. Sometime back, a leading British humanist was interviewed on television. In a moment of surprising candor, she said, what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. So it gives a picture of her being full of regrets and whatnot, and just living in that dismay and the burden. The Christian is not to live under the burden of his sin, because the sins are forgiven because of the Savior. How thankful I am. I'm glad not only because my sins are forgiven, I'm glad I'm saved because I've become a child of God. I actually became part of his family. Now, don't you love the people in your family? The Bimpsons are thrilled today. Their daughter Mary is here with Kevin. Kevin, by the way, is pastor for many years out in western Massachusetts. Glad to have y'all. Glad to have all our visitors. But family, man, you love family. I'm in his family. And it's not because of anything I've done. It's because I simply put faith in the one who did it all. John 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I believe, became a child of God. I'm one of his sons. You're one of his sons. You're one of his daughters if you've trusted him as your Savior. Not because you go to church. Not because you do good deeds. Not because you give to charity or some church. All those things are good and well and should be done. But they won't wash away your sins. They won't grant you a home in heaven. They won't make you a child of God. It's faith in Jesus that born me into the family of God. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. These basic truths are foundational for the joy that should be exhibited in your life and mine. My sins are forgiven. I became an actual child of God. Romans 8, verse 15. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, Brother John read earlier, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba. In other words, Father. You can say, you know, many people say Father in heaven. Well, they may not know Christ as their Savior, but this is the prayer they pray, where, be it in a church or otherwise. No, those that have trusted Christ as Savior are the only ones who can truly say, Father. And he is. We cry, Father, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The creator of the universe is my Father. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Again, I encourage you, pen down the references. Visit them again. What an encouragement, inspiration to give you to your soul and the spirit of wanting to share, to witness, tell others. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 begins, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, here's the truth. Verse 7, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What a truth that is. I'm an heir. Heaven is mine. Heaven is yours as a child of God. Spurgeon said this, the proper study of a Christian is the Godhead. And truly it is. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God who he is able to call his Father. The Godhead, the Supreme, creator of the universe, is my Father because of Christ. C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became man to enable men to become the sons of God. What a wonderful truth that is. I'm glad I'm saved because my sins are forgiven. I'm glad I'm saved because I'm a child of the King. I'm glad I'm saved because my Heavenly Father has written me a love letter. Outside of this, you didn't get saved. God gave us his word, and through his word, we're brought to a place of conviction, to a place of recognizing he's God and we're not. He's pure and we're unholy, and we need the Savior. Psalm 119, the whole psalm is dedicated to the Word of God, but let's read a few of the verses. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, you picture, you talk about a love letter, you talk about a couple maybe courting or whatnot, and one sends the other one a letter, and boy, it's a treasured thing. They get the envelope, and first thing they do is smell it. They smell the perfume, and they can't wait to open it, and with great anticipation, they read, they feel every word, because it's from someone they love, someone that loves them. Special. They may reread it 100 times. You got one of those. You got a love letter from someone who loves you, whose word you should treasure, that you should read over and over again, never getting tired of it. He gave us this blessed book by which we are saved. Verse 14 of Psalm 119, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I'd rather have this book than millions and millions of dollars. That's temporary. This is eternal. This is the way to life, the way to heaven. David says in verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Does that describe your relationship with the book? With the love letter from God? Or is it just simply visiting it like a menu? What a treasure this is. It's from Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who bore me into his family, and then he sent me a letter to tell me he loves me, that I matter to him, and that he's got these grand plans and purposes, and I'm part of them, and how I fit in, and what he's got in store for me down the road. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to spend time in the Word of God. My Heavenly Father's written me a love letter. Soren Kierkegaard said this, the Bible is a letter from God with our personal address on it. You, individually, matter to him. Anthony of Egypt said this, be astounded that God should have written to us. Careful not to lose your astoundedment, your astonishment, that you have the Word of God, a book from heaven. Edith Draper said, the devil is not afraid of the Bible that has dust on it. That describe your book, your love letter from God. You know, it's Sunday morning. Sunday morning. God help us. You had a personal letter from God. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I got this book. How about you? Amen. I'm glad I'm saved because I'm not going to hell. Amen. Not one second will I ever taste hell. Though I deserve it. I'm the sinner. Jesus wasn't the sinner. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can we see the reality of this picture? Whosever name is not written in the book of life is cast into a lake of fire. Now, we all know what a fire looks like. We're fearful of it. There's pain, there's torture in fire. And whoever's not saved is cast into the lake of fire. I'm thankful I won't be one. Hell's pretty bad. Mark 9 gives us a little bit of insight. Verse 43 to 48 says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. There's a picture. Now you have a campfire. You know what you got to do occasionally? You got to keep putting in some wood. You got to keep quenching the fire. The Bible says that the fires of hell will never be quenched. It's eternal. It's forever. In your mind, you'd be dishonest if you said, I got that. We don't understand that. We do not have a concept truly of what eternity is. Everything we know in life has had time. Time surrounds it. We may see a tree and they count the rings and say it's like 200 years old. Well, that's amazing. You know what 200 years is in the grand scope of time? And I'm talking just time. Before time was and before time and after time ends, there is eternity. God ordained time. Eternity is beyond our conception. And the Bible says that fire will never go out. Never be quenched. Matthew 25:30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pictures. God put this in the book. Why? Help us get some concept. The horrors of hell, of its reality. Darkness, fire, darkness. We don't get that. Fire is light, bright. No, the fires of hell, there's darkness, outer darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, the gritting of teeth because of pain. For a Christ-rejecting world. And for the devil and his angels. I think Luke 16 gives us some pretty good insight. You say, well, some say that, well, it's a parable. It's not a parable. Whenever the Lord uses proper names, be it for a person or a place, it's a reality. It's a story, a true story. And here we have in Luke 16, join with me at verse 23. 23 and 24, the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. This is a rich man. He died. Everybody dies. Rich or poor, they die. He died. And in hell he lift up his eyes. So he's beneath. He lifts up his eyes. Being in torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I'm in this flame, and I am tormented. So tormented that the idea that one drop of water from Lazarus's finger dipped in water on his tongue, oh, like that would give relief. One drop of water. Do you see the picture presented of the pain? And by the way, Jesus experienced the pains of hell for you and me. So when it says, I'm being in torments, for I'm tormented, Jesus was tormented on the cross. They say crucifixion is the worst. They're suffocating. And they push up. And just more and more pain with every push and suffocation. You know, your salvation wasn't free. Somebody paid for it. Jesus did. And I'm so glad he did, because for us it's eternal. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. Ought to encourage us to witness to others, huh? I'm so glad I'm saved because I'm going to heaven. You know, the Bible talks about heaven too. God is honest and gives us the picture that there is a hell, but there is a heaven too. And it's all because of Jesus. I'm so glad I'm saved. You that have lost some loved ones recently, aren't you glad they're saved? The contrast between the two. Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All of the things. Listen, we that are getting older, isn't it amazing how much time it takes to get out of bed? I used to jump out of bed anxious for the day. I'm still anxious, but I'm not jumping. Slowly sit up, and then you wait for your head to come clear. Then you start to get a, ugh. And you feel like the Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man. Oil, oil, you need your joints. Now, it's funny that almost just, then you're fine. And I suppose the day comes when you're not always fine. Many of you struggle with chronic pain day after day. But can I tell you something? You're going to heaven. It's going to be okay. You won't remember all the pains and sorrows, all the death. Heaven is grand. Philippians 3:21, Paul speaks to these believers at Philippi, and he's saying, who shall change, speaking of Jesus, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? It'll be like Jesus. Finally. I mean, we're trying to be like Jesus now, live like him, be like him, but we're going to be like Jesus. Our bodies, they're going to change. No more pain, no more suffering. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4 tells us this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, he looked at me with mercy, hath begotten us again, given us life unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because he arose, we will rise. Verse 4 says, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. See, you got this appointment, but includes a reservation if you're saved, if you're in Christ. And it's reservations in heaven. And it's an inheritance that's incorruptible. And all the glories of heaven you're going to experience. What could that be like? We're told in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Eye hath not seen. We mentioned this at the service this week. We start talking about heaven. You can't describe heaven. You don't know heaven. The Bible says that of all the things you've ever seen in this life, nothing can compare to heaven. Eye hath not seen. You've not seen anything that you will see in heaven. These that have gone, they're seeing things they have never seen in this life. Nor ear heard the sounds. I love our choir. I'm blessed every time they sing. You're a wonderful choir. You are. God bless you for your faithfulness. To be a practices. To sing that you might glorify God and bless your brethren. Wonderful sounds. The Bible says none of these sounds compare to heaven. There's going to be a heavenly choir. You know who's leading the choir? Uncle Harold Case. Yeah. Yeah. It's in the appendix. And won't it be great to see him? The pastor and others. Heaven's going to be grand. I'm going there. How about you? I'm so thankful. And one more quickly. I'm glad I'm saved because he's there when I need him. We talked of the future, but right here and now, that here and now, he's here when I need him. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He promises us that. What a savior. I matter. There's 8 billion people on the planet. And I matter. You know, the Bible says that our very voice reaches the ears of God. That blows me away. He knows my voice. We all recognize voices, you know. Some may sound a little bit alike. You say, is that who? That's so-so. He knows my voice as it reaches his ears. And when I call out to him in need, he hears me and he cares. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Call me. Call upon me. I know you. You're one of mine. Psalm 18:6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. It's an amazing thing that the Bible says the very hairs of our head are numbered. Now, you know, as we get older, we may lose some, but I mean, when you're young, spry, when you're in your teens, you got hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hair. He knows exactly how many. What does that tell you? He knows everything about me. And he cares. And he still loves me. In spite of me. And he gave me Jesus. And someday he's going to say, "Well done. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's what I've prepared for you." Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This morning as we come to what we call the visit, the invitation time, you're invited. You're invited to what? Well, you're invited to talk with God. In light of what you've heard, and less of my words, but rather the words of the Bible, we read many verses from the Bible, God's words, this morning. We talked about heaven, we talked about hell, we talked about sins being forgiven. So my question to you, friend, would be this. Do you know that you're forgiven? Do you know that you're a child of God? Have you been born again?